Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
If you grow up in the city, adventure is something you watch on a screen. You sit in front of a TV, watching kids your age climb trees, build forts, sneak through the woods with flashlights. You see them find things you could only dream of exploring, hidden and forgotten places, ones adults don't go to. But when you step outside, there's no wilderness waiting for you. No abandoned cabins with secrets inside. Just endless concrete sidewalks, chain-link fences, apartment rooftops, dead-end alleys. A world where every inch of space is mapped, numbered, owned by someone else. The closest thing to adventure was jumping between buildings, sneaking into construction sites, tagging a name on walls that won't be there in a year. It wasn't enough. At least, not for Liam. I've known Liam since we were kids. He was always the loudest voice in the room, the one with the biggest ideas. He could make you believe in something just because he did. If Liam said, "We're gonna sneak into the old rail yard and see if we can get on top of a train before it moves," then yeah, you were gonna do it. If he said, "This abandoned apartment tower is safe to climb. No one ever checks inside," you trusted him. And most of the time, he was right. Ethan, on the other hand, was the opposite. He was quiet, thoughtful, always last to agree. But he never backed out. He always stood just behind Liam and I, arms crossed, scowling, always looking like he was seconds away from saying, "This is stupid," but he never actually did. Ethan didn't love the things we did, but he loved being there. I fell somewhere between them. Liam led, Ethan hesitated, and I was the one who said, "Screw it, let's go." That was our balance. That was how it had always been. Until Liam said, "I think I know what we should do." And we said, "What?" And he said, "Let's get out of the city." We were sitting on the roof of a half-finished apartment complex, watching cars blur below us, the hum of the city swallowing our words. Liam was scrolling through his phone, flicking between photos of forests, lakes, abandoned buildings half-swallowed by trees. "This is what we're missing," he said. "We waste all our time sneaking into places that suck. Look at this. Actual abandoned places. Out in the woods. No cameras, no fences. We should do this." "You want us to go camping?" Ethan asked, skeptical. "Not camping. Exploring." Ethan sighed. "How do you even find a place like that?" "I already did," Liam said, grinning. He turned his phone, showing us a grainy satellite image, a patch of woods just past the city limits near an old, unnamed road. "There's something there, a building or, I don't know, but no one goes out that way, no one talks about it. It's just there, sitting in the middle of nowhere." "How do you know it's not private property?" I asked. "How do you know it isn't?" Liam shot back. Ethan scoffed. "That's a solid argument, dude. Really airtight." Liam ignored him, leaning forward, eyes bright. "Come on, just one trip. We leave Saturday morning, check it out, and come back before dark. Just like the kids in the movies. Just one time." I could see it in his face. He'd already decided. And part of me already knew that I had as well. Ethan sighed, shaking his head, but he didn't say no. The weekend came, and we went. It felt weird stepping onto a bus that took us away from the city instead of deeper into it, watching the skyline shrink behind us, disappearing behind hills and stretches of open road. I caught Ethan staring out the window, watching the trees go past, hands clenched on his backpack straps. Liam was grinning. He kept checking his phone, double-checking the location he'd found. "Almost there," he said, eyes shining. The bus let us off at a half-empty gas station where the only road ahead stretched into the trees. It felt different here. The air was quieter, almost peaceful, like we had stepped out of our world and into another. Liam was the first to walk toward the tree line, sneakers crunching against the dirt. "Let's go," he said. We followed. The woods were bigger than I expected. Not just taller, but deeper. The city was all about height. Skyscrapers, bridges, endless metal stacked toward the sky. This was different. It felt old and alive. The trees stretched high above us, branches twisting like veins against the sky. The air was cooler here, thick with the scent of dirt and pine. The only sounds were our own footsteps, the occasional snap of a branch, and the distant hum of something unseen, wind through leaves or something else entirely. For the first time in my life, I felt small. And from the look on Liam's face, he'd never felt bigger. "See," he said, spinning in a slow circle, arms outstretched like he was soaking it in. "This is what I'm talking about. This is what we've been missing." Ethan muttered as he kicked a rock. But I could tell. Even he was feeling it. We ran through the trees like kids, throwing rocks into a half-dried stream, scaling fallen logs like we were climbing mountains. At one point, Liam grabbed a branch, swinging from it like Tarzan, whooping before dropping into a pile of leaves. We were in it. A real adventure. For once, this wasn't something we were watching on a screen. We were living it. And then Liam found the building we'd been looking for. It was almost hidden, swallowed by the trees. At first it looked like a hill, covered in vines and dead leaves, like the forest that tried to pull it underground to erase it. But then I saw the edges of a structure. Concrete, cracked and weathered, barely visible through the overgrowth. And when Liam pushed forward, brushing aside the vines, the truth became clear. It was a building, half buried, lopsided like it had sunk into the earth, a sagging roof, broken windows, and a doorway gaping open into darkness. Liam's eyes went wide. He stepped forward, running a hand along the crumbling wall. "This is it," he exclaimed with joy. Ethan stiffened. "What?" "There was some urban legend," Liam said absently, still staring at it. "Some place in the woods where, I don't know, people used to go and never come back." Ethan scoffed. "Cool. That's real comforting, man." But Liam wasn't listening. He was already walking toward the entrance. I felt something shift in my stomach, a feeling like we had stepped over an invisible line. Like, up until now, we had been on safe ground. "Liam," Ethan called, his voice sharper now. "Maybe we should..." But Liam had already stepped inside. And like always, we followed. Inside, the air felt wrong. Not just stale, just still. We could tell no one had set foot in here for years, maybe decades. The floor was covered in dust, except for where rain had dripped through the cracks in the ceiling, leaving dark, waterlogged stains. The walls were made of concrete and rusted metal beams, part of them buckling inward, threatening to collapse. A long hallway stretched ahead of us, dark doorways gaping open, leading deeper into the unknown. And yet, despite all of that, Liam was grinning. "This is insane," he said, stepping forward, his voice echoing through the empty space. "Like, how the hell has no one found this?" "Maybe because they don't want to," Ethan muttered. Liam ignored him. He ran his hand along the walls, kicking at a fallen chair, the sound sharp in the silence. "You feel that?" he asked, looking over his shoulder. "That energy, like something big happened here." Ethan scoffed. "Yeah, pretty sure the big thing was time and gravity, dude. This place is falling apart." "Come on," Liam said, still grinning. "A little imagination never hurt anyone." For the first few minutes, it was fun. We kicked through old furniture, picked up faded scraps of paper that had long since become unreadable, made up stories about what this place used to be. An old military bunker, a cult hideout, a secret government lab. The only thing we were missing to truly make this a movie was a big camera. But then, after a while, Ethan stopped playing along. I noticed it when he started hanging back, keeping his arms crossed, not really looking around anymore. Liam noticed it too. "Okay, what's up with you?" Liam said, turning to him. "We finally get to do something cool, and you're standing there like your dog just died." Ethan didn't respond right away. Then, finally, he let out a slow breath. "You ever noticed how this happens every time?" he said, voice quieter than before. "You always find something fun to do. And at first, yeah, it's great. But then you always push it too far." Liam's grin flickered for half a second. "What are you talking about? You don't know when to stop." Ethan shifted his weight, running a hand through his hair. "Like that time with the train yard, or when we climbed that tower and the stairs gave out. Or heck, this. We should have turned back before we even got on the bus." Liam's face darkened, like Ethan had crossed the line. But then, instead of snapping back, Liam hesitated. And that alone was weird enough to make me feel weird. He exhaled through his nose, looking down at the ground. "You ever think," Liam said slowly, "that maybe I don't want to stop?" Ethan frowned. "What?" Liam stuffed his hands in his pockets. "You think I don't know when I'm pushing things too far?" His voice was quiet. "I know. I always know." Silence. Ethan and I exchanged a glance. For once, Liam wasn't boasting. He wasn't brushing it off. He was being honest. Liam ran a hand over his face. "I don't like being home, okay? It's like, every time I'm there, I feel like I can't..." He stopped, readjusting his posture. Then, finally, "I just don't want to feel the way I feel at home." The words hung there. For a moment, none of us spoke. Ethan looked like he wanted to say something, maybe something important. But before he could, something moved. A rustling noise, somewhere deeper into the building. All three of us froze. Liam's head snapped up. Did you hear that? Ethan took a step back. It's probably just this old building. You see the state it's in, he muttered. But there was no conviction in his voice. Then it happened again. A shuffle and a scrape. Something was in here with us. Liam's eyes flickered toward the dark hallway ahead. A shadow stretched long against the far wall, cast by something moving just out of sight. Ethan grabbed my arm. Guys, let's go. But Liam pushed forward. It's probably just rats, he said. But I could hear the edge in his voice now. Come on, we didn't come all this way to turn back now. We should have turned back. But instead, we followed. And we went deeper. The deeper we went, the worse the air got. It became wet almost, despite the dust, like something rotting in the walls. The floor dipped downward, leading us to what used to be a staircase. Most of it had collapsed, the steps crumbling into a mess of broken concrete and rusted metal. But at the bottom, barely visible in the dim light, a lower level. A basement, half submerged in stagnant water. Liam turned back to us, eyes alight with curiosity. Okay, he grinned. This is actually kind of sick. Ethan stood stiffly behind him, arms crossed tight. Or, hear me out, we don't go into the creepy basement, and instead we turn around and go home. Liam laughed. Come on, man, you've never wanted to find something real. Ethan's jaw tightened, but Liam wasn't waiting for an answer. He crouched near the edge of the staircase, gripping one of the railings and peering down into the darkness. Then, he made a face. Holy! He pointed at something on the ground. I stepped closer and felt my stomach churn. Scattered across the bottom of the stairs were rats. Not just dead, mutilated. Some were half drowned in the stagnant water, their small bodies bloated and misshapen. Others lay twisted and broken, their fur slick with something dark and drying. They hadn't been eaten. Something killed them, then left them. I took a slow step back, pulse pounding in my throat. If it wasn't the rats that made that noise earlier, then... Ethan exhaled sharply, rubbing his hands down his face. Then what made that noise was whatever did this to the rats. A rabid animal? We should really get out now. Liam, though. Liam just stared. A flicker of doubt. A tiny, unspoken realization. Like the edges of his adventure had suddenly sharpened. Like maybe. Just maybe. He'd finally pushed too far. But then, he stopped breathing. Not literally, but he froze completely. His whole body tensed, his hands gripping the railing tight. His lips parted just slightly, like he was about to say something, but didn't, or was too afraid to. Ethan frowned. Liam? Liam shook his head. Not a no, not a yes. Just a barely there movement, slow but unsteady. A big crash came from behind us, like dynamite exploding. Our heads snapped back. Dust rose up from the stairs and slowly settled as we stared. When the noise faded into the distance. What was that? Ethan let out a half whisper, half shout. Wait, Liam said sharply. Silence again. I didn't understand at first. But then, I heard it. something breathing. It wasn't any of us. It came from below, from the basement. And as we stood there, frozen, ears straining, something shifted, something unfolding itself, something rising. We ran, not because we had a plan, not because we thought we could get away, because there was nothing else we could do. The sound behind us wasn't footsteps. It was worse. A deep, guttural clicking, reverberating off the walls, filling every space at once, like something shifting, rearranging itself as it moved. I didn't look back. I couldn't. But I felt it. I felt it breathing down my neck, even though it was nowhere near me. The hallway ahead twisted and turned, the walls seeming to close in on us, the darkness swallowing us whole. My lungs burned. Ethan stumbled, gasping, but Liam grabbed his arm, yanking him forward. "We need the main door," I yelled, "the way we came in." We turned a corner, practically skidding into the entry hall, and stopped. The ceiling had collapsed. The entire doorway was chocked with debris, thick slabs of concrete and rusted beams blocking any way out. "No, no, no," Ethan gasped, eyes darting frantically. There has to be another way." Liam spun, searching. His head snapped upward. "There." I followed his gaze and saw it. A hole in the ceiling. A small opening where the structure had rotted away, just wide enough to squeeze through. Hope surged in my chest. This was it. We could get out. Liam grabbed the edges of the broken ceiling and hauled himself up first, grunting with effort. He reached down immediately, his fingers closing around my wrist. "Ryan, come on!" I scrambled up, my feet scraping against the crumbling walls as I kicked off, pushing with everything I had. And then I was up. We made it. We were going to live. Then I heard Ethan struggle below. I turned back, looking down, and my stomach dropped. Ethan was too slow. His hands were clawing at the edge, trying to pull himself up, but his arms shook violently from exhaustion. His sneakers slipped against the slick, broken walls, failing to find any purchase. And beneath him, in the dark, it was coming. A shadow twisting, shifting, a blur of something impossibly long, impossibly wrong. Liam saw it too, and he made his decision. Before I even realized what was happening, Liam looked at me, and he smiled. It wasn't cocky or forced, like he'd finally found what he was looking for. "You'll tell a good story about this," he said, and dropped back down. Liam landed hard, his feet slammed into the hard concrete below, and for a split second, I thought for a second that he could still climb back up, that this wasn't the end. Then it moved, something in the dark. It didn't lunge, it unfolded. A shape crawled out from the blackness beneath the broken stairwell, stretching tall and thin, its body unnatural, wrong. I saw its arms first, long appendages with countless joints, all cracking in unison, fingers shaped like hooks. Then its head tilted up. It had no eyes or face to speak of, just a smooth stretch of bone-white skin pulled tight over a shape that resembled something between human and a dog. It didn't make a sound. Liam spun toward Ethan. "Go!" Ethan froze. He just stood there, wide-eyed, lips moving but making no sound. Liam grabbed him, fingers twisting the fabric of Ethan's hoodie, boosting him up. Ethan gasped, hands scrambling for the ledge, one foot kicking against Liam's hands, the other trying to find leverage on the bare wall. But Liam wouldn't let him fall. With one final heave, he threw Ethan up. Ethan crashed over the edge, scrambling away on his hands and knees, gasping for breath. Liam! I reached for him. Both of us did. But it was too late. The creature's arm shot forward, and Liam screamed. It wrapped around his chest with impossible speed, pulling him backward and back down to the ground. His body skidded against the dry concrete, sending dust and debris into the air. He tried grabbing anything on the ground to hoist himself up. Ethan reached down as far as he could, so far that he would have fallen back in if I hadn't caught him. But it wasn't enough. The ceiling creaked under our weight. The walls groaned, dust and stone raining down from above, shifting beneath our weight. A warning. If we stayed, we'd all die. The thing yanked him backward. The ceiling gave way. A violent crack. Dust exploded into the air, chunks of stone crumbling beneath us. Ethan grabbed my arm, yanking me back. Liam! I tried to scream, but the noise of the collapse swallowed his name. We had to run. And Liam? Liam couldn't. We ran until our legs gave out. We didn't stop to think. We didn't want to. Through the trees, past the empty roads, until the gas station came into view. The first sign of normalcy, of civilization. By the time we stumbled inside, breathless and shaking, the old man behind the counter barely had time to ask what was wrong before Ethan collapsed against the shelves, hands on his knees, gasping, "Call the cops!" We told them everything. We told them about the building, about the creature, about Liam. They didn't dismiss us, but they didn't believe us either. Just two hysterical kids, filthy and bruised, talking about monsters in the dark. Still, they sent a search team out. By the time we were allowed to go back to them, the sun was rising, the world slowly bleeding back into reality. I remember how silent it was, standing at the edge of the wreckage, because that's all that was left. The building had collapsed, a pile of broken concrete, shattered wood, twisted metal. The entrance was gone, buried. There was no sign of the thing. But there was a sign of Liam. I saw him first, or what was left of him. The police had to pull us back, keep us from getting too close. But I saw enough. A body crushed beneath fallen debris, his face blooded and unrecognizable. Just the boy who got trapped in a crumbling building. That's what they said. That's what everyone would say. There was an article written about it in the local paper. "Three kids went exploring somewhere they shouldn't have," was the headline. They found an abandoned building. They went inside. It collapsed. Two of them made it out. One of them didn't. A tragic incident, the police called it. Unstable structures are dangerous. You boys were lucky. They shook their heads when we told them the truth. They told us that there was no creature, no thing in the dark. "Whatever you thought you saw," one of them told us, "was just panic. Fear does weird things to the mind." Ethan and I never spoke about it again. Not because we didn't remember. Not because we didn't think about it every night when the city lights flickered through our windows. But because there was no point, no one would ever believe us. Maybe it was better that way. I could never quite figure out why Liam decided to jump back down the way he did. Not at first. I thought about it constantly. That final moment when his feet hit the ground, when he looked at me with that expression of finality as he said his last words to me. "You'll tell a good story about this." The look in his eyes was something I couldn't understand. At night, I'd stare at my ceiling, replaying it over and over. What did it mean? Why would he do that when he knew he was going to die? I couldn't ask Ethan. He wasn't talking about it. We didn't call or so much as text. The few times we ran into each other at school, we barely looked at one another. Like, if we didn't acknowledge it, maybe it wouldn't be real. And maybe Ethan hadn't heard it. Liam's last words. Maybe he didn't know. But I did. And I couldn't let it go. A few weeks later, I saw Liam's parents. They were walking down a busy street, lost in the crowd. I stopped in my tracks, my heart slamming against my ribs. I expected them to look different, weaker, grief-stricken, lost. Instead, they looked normal. Not exactly happy, but not broken either. Definitely not the way loving parents would look after they just lost their child in such a tragic way. And they didn't recognize me. Liam's best friend, the kid who had spent years by his side. They walked right past me, no sign of recognition on their faces. I was just another face in the city to them. That was when it clicked. Liam never liked being at home. He never talked about it, not directly. But looking back, all the signs were there. The way he'd always want to be anywhere else, how he'd never invite us over, how he'd change the subject any time we asked. The way he threw himself into every stupid, reckless adventure, as if standing still was worse than falling. And that's when I knew. It wasn't just about the thrill. He just wanted to escape. Every rooftop, every train yard, every broken down place we snuck into. It was about something more than fun for Liam. He had been running his whole life, and in the end, he got exactly what he wanted. The ultimate adventure. A place no one else would ever go. A place where no one could follow. Because he'd finally escaped.